Hello and welcome to this 15-minute video on multi-threaded debugging enhancements in Visual Studio 2008. My name is Daniel Moth and I work for Microsoft in the UK in the Developer and Platform Group. You can see my blog on your screens and you can use that to contact me with any questions you may have about this or any of my other videos. Here I'm running Visual Studio 2008 Beta 2 on Windows Vista, and I'm going to use this solution here to show you some of the multi-threading enhancements. So in here we have a program file, as you would expect, that launches Form 1. Form 1 looks like this, just one big button. And if we look at the code for Form 1, it's fairly straightforward. It creates a heavy worker, an HW, which is the final class that I've got to show you in this solution. And then in the button click, it goes and iterates 10 times, so it goes round the loop 10 times, and in there it creates a thread, and it starts that thread. The thread it creates actually points to this method here. So each one of the 10 threads is going to go and execute the single statement, and this is a single statement. And the single statement is to call the public method moreInput on the heavy worker, and that accepts an integer. And to pass in the integer, we use the random class and we call next, and that gives us the integer. The only thing I've done here to ensure randomness is I've set as the seed for the random class the minus thread ID of the current thread, which of course will be different each time it goes around the loop. And that's really all there is to the form code. It's very, very straightforward. Let's quickly look at the heavy worker. Slightly more involved, but don't worry about this, because the new enhancements in multithreading, you don't really need to understand this class. I'm just using it as an example. So what does this do? Well, it has a thread, a manual reset event, and a queue. And let's get rid of that, because we don't really need it. And what we do when we create it is we go and create the queue, create the wait event, and create the thread, which I also give a name, and I set it to be a background thread. So this is the name of this thread. This thread, which I start immediately on creation, points to on my own thread method. So let's go and have a look what happens in there. So in my own thread, what it does forever, well, forever, it's a background thread, so when it closes it will end, but in this instance I've chosen to do this forever, and what it does is it blocks obviously on the wait event, and when that gets signaled, then it will reset the event and go and do work, call another private method which is time consuming, and do work will use items from the queue. So if you've seen this pattern before, typically you'd expect just a call to do work and then straight away go out and wait on one. I've got this loop in here which is just an optimization. It's in other words, once this completes, I want to just keep on going until I've emptied the loop before I go and wait again. No point waiting if I'm going to be signaled immediately. So that's my worker thread, which will always be working in here, or will be sleeping effectively over there. So what do we do in do work? This is the final method. Oh, before we look at do work, might as well look at more input. So this is the public method we called from form earlier on, and accepting the integer, all it does is enqueues it, that integer, so it sticks it on the queue, and then signals the other thread, so this thread can wake up at this point and go and process the integer that was added. If while it's processing, in the meantime, more integers get added, that's fine, because next time around it will catch those and process them as well. So a key thing here is to make sure that we are protected when we touch the queue, so when we dequeue, we don't actually have any racing issues. And if we go further down, we'll see here the time-consuming processing, which is in do work. And what I'm doing here is obviously locking on the queue, since I'm about to dequeue the job, and then I go and do my long processing down there. And my long processing is simulated by sleeping for 5 seconds, but I will put out on the console the queue object to string, so in other words, the integer. That's all my code. As I said, you don't have to understand all this code to understand the enhancements, but you've seen it nonetheless. So now I've run the application. Before I even hit on the button to to spin off those 10 threads, if I just go and hit pause, we'll be able to see all of the enhancements. And the enhancements are in the threads window. So this threads window, which we've always had before, has had some enhancements that will help us. And typically when we bring the threads window up to debug something, what we end up doing is, you know, clicking on this location, and that shows us the location of that thread. Then we look at the call stack to see where that came from. Then maybe we'll click on another thread that will take us to where that is blocked or paused at the moment. And then we'll go to the call stack, look at that, and so on. This is a typical flow when we're using the threads window. We always use it in conjunction with the call stack, and we examine what's happening in the editor. Well, now the location column has been enhanced, so when you select the threads, if you go here, you get a nice tooltip that shows you the call stack immediately. And the same for any other thread, of course. So if you have a location, then in a tooltip you can easily see the call stack. So that's cool. That's a nice enhancement. What you also have noticed already is that we have a new category column, and in there we have two categories in Visual Studio 2008. I'm sure in the future this can be enhanced and customized, but for now we just have two as far as I can tell, and it's very easy to distinguish all your worker threads compared to your main thread, because it says so, plus it's a different color. So very easy to locate the main thread now. And of course all these columns are sortable. Another little enhancement here is that the ID, right from in here, without going anywhere else, we can change this to a hexadecimal display, if that's what we want to do. And that could be useful for cross-referencing with other tools or windows, if that's what you're using. So we can do that. And yet another enhancement we have here is to do with names. So you can see here that that's my main thread, that's the default name. You can see the heavy worker, that's the name I gave to my thread. And then we see all these other threads down here which clearly are not mine. And I say clearly because there's no location for them, so they're not running in my code. This one has a highest priority, which I haven't set any, so I know that's not mine either. And this one here says .NET system events, and you will have seen this even in Visual Studio 2005. And again, this isn't mine. And neither is this, which is obviously from the Visual Studio host, the hosting feature that was introduced with 2005 to expedite running applications up. So what I can do now in Visual Studio 2008 is I can go and rename these. So I could name that ignore, for example, and let's copy that and go and F2 and paste it in all the rest as well. So if I'm doing some serious debugging, maybe I just really don't care about those, I can go and rename it as I'm doing now. Or if I have some of my own threads and I forgot to give them a name, say I forgot to give a name to my heavy worker, I could have done that for this guy as well. So now I can see my main thread, I can see my heavy worker. So I can rename or name threads, as you have just seen, but it's important, I just want to highlight something here. You can even rename existing ones. So heavy worker, I can rename this. So say I rename this to moth. Now you should take care, because all this renaming that we're doing is only applicable for your eyes only, literally. So it's only applicable for this window and for what you see. It's not the name that gets used at runtime. So if we were to go back to our so if we go to where this thread is, you'll see that if we go on the locals and we look on the heavy worker and we look on send next thread, obviously we cannot see its publics, but we can go straight into the privates, and what you'll see here is the name is still heavy worker, and it will be for any login you're doing or anything like that. So you're not really changing the names of the threads, you're just changing them in this window over here. So it's useful for naming threads you didn't name, but I wouldn't go renaming existing threads because that will probably confuse you. So the same rules apply. Once you've given a name to a minor thread, you cannot change it, or you get an exception for the runtime behavior. So that's a bit on naming. What else have we got here? Well, we have the ability to flag threads. So what does that do? Well, flagging is useful. So if you have multiple threads and you just want to keep an eye on one or two during a debugging session, so you continue, pause, you can always see where they are because they're obviously nicely flagged. And it's also useful for just sorting on that column and bringing all the ones that you're interested in to the top. Another thing that flagging affects is the debugger location window. We've always had this, and now it also has the flags feature, which means that if I go and drop down the threads, I can only see the ones that have been flagged. So I can only see those, and maybe that's what I want to do. If I don't, I can toggle that button off, and then I can see all of them. But again, it's very clear which are the flags that, which are the threads that I flagged and I'm interested in. I don't have to remember thread IDs or thread names, indeed. And from in here, I can go and unflag, for example, as you can see there, or flag again any threads that interest me. So those are really all of the enhancements. There's only one I haven't shown you yet, and I think this is one of the coolest. And that is that when you go into various files that are open, for example in here, you don't have to double-click and find where that thread is. You can easily see with this gray highlight that, look, there is another thread paused here. You can tell which one is the main thread, because that's the one that has the marker next to it. That's where we are. That's where we've stopped, rather. And This one here is just a thread that happened to be stopped as well. And from the squiggle list here, you can go and hover over it, and you can see the thread ID and the thread name if there is one. Note that if there were multiple threads waiting on this, in my design there can't be, but it's very common for multiple threads to be blocked on a single line, then this would have a little plus symbol, and in the tooltip you would see all the different threads that are there. So that's pretty cool. I like that feature a lot. And if you don't like that feature, you can always go and turn it off, hide threads in source, then you see an even lighter gray thing without this thing on the left. I don't know why you wouldn't want that, so I'm just going to go and turn it back on. And of course we have shortcuts for unflagging all threads if that's what we want to do. So that's where we are, and what I want to show you now is if I go in my output, switch over there, and we go to the button and I hit, well, first I have to continue, of course. Let's continue that. And if I go and hit do it, what we'll see in here is that we're going and adding those integers to our heavy worker, and then it goes and processes them. And if I go now, obviously this is where it takes 5 seconds, process the next, it's going to take another 5 seconds, it's going to say process, process the next, and so on. But of course my UI is still responsive, you can see the highlights, because I'm doing everything on a worker thread. And if I go and pause in here and we look at the threads, let's have a look, sort them on the top, we haven't got any new threads that are getting created. So all those threads that I'm creating in here, they're actually all closing down very quickly, and that's what my design should do. I want those threads, those that represent client threads, I want them all to be closed very quickly. I just want my worker thread up working. So let me just stop this now, and just as an aside, if you don't want the Visual Studio hosting process, you can do that. And now when I run this guy up, if we go and pause like we did earlier on, all you're going to see in here is the two threads. And note how flagging only works for a particular debugging session. So I'm going to go and flag these again. So we just see those. We don't have all the other threads that we didn't care about. Now let me continue. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit this button now a couple of times. In fact, I'm going to hit it many times. And as I'm hitting that button, if I now go and pause, we're going to see that suddenly my design is flawed. I now have many threads. So previously I gave it some time, I only clicked once just so I could kind of trick you really for this video's purposes, but my design is flawed because all these threads have been created and they're in there, and I don't want them, it's far too many. And if we see where they are, they're all on the same line, line 44 in heavy input, so I can just hover over and see that's the case. And if indeed I go to my heavy worker, I can see that, let's see, first let's make sure that that's on. We can see that one of them is actually here on do work. We can see another one is here on more input. In fact, there's a plus symbol, so if I hover over it, this is where all the threads are really blocked. So I think I found where the bottleneck is. And if we go further down, we'll see here's another thread. So that's a heavy worker. He's actually processing number. So while one thread is processing, it looks like a whole bunch of other threads are waiting to do something. And that's not good. That's not going to scale in a real-world scenario. So I have to solve this problem. So let's hit stop and continue with the debugging. I should note at this point, if you're bored with the video, you can stop it because I've shown you all the features that are new. All I'm going to do now is finish off by fixing the issue that this design has. So if we go and have a look, we'll see that the declarations, they look fine. My initialization, I think that looks fine as well. Nothing dodgy going on there. If we look at how we wait, sure, we could have had this as a real flag, which we would set to monitor when we want to kill the thread, and then thread would exit cleanly whenever I dispose of this object. But that's just a design decision. That's nothing to do with our particular issue. I'm looking at this code. I think it's all fine. And when we get down here, where we queue things, I don't think I can get rid of that because we have to protect the queue because it could be dequeuing at the same time. So I don't think that's the issue either. And then when I go down here, I can see where the issue is, and I hope you can as well. In fact, it's a big clue. You don't have to know anything about the design. Whenever you see time-consuming things within a lock, you know, that's a big flag of something you should fix. So the problem here is that, of course, I should lock when I'm doing my dequeuing, but when I'm doing my processing, I don't have to. So if I take all this code and take it out of the lock, so take it here, and in fact, maybe I've gone too far, taking it out completely. Let's put it there. And now I think I fixed my problem, because the lock will only be held for a very short time and it will allow all the other threads to continue. Of course, whenever we do a refactoring like this, we should run our unit test and make sure we've broken nothing. And I can see here that I'm potentially breaking something, and that is that now I'm not being protected by the queue count, which means that when we reach this line, I could be using a queue object that actually hasn't got a real value, and I don't want to process those. So what I should do here is also surround this with an if statement, and this would be a qobj not equal to -1. And actually, come to think of it, I know that these numbers will be positive if they're valid, but this is not such a clean design, so maybe what I should do is make that a nullable. And now I can check here for null, and this seems to me at least slightly cleaner. And I think now I've fixed my design. So if I go and run this, and I go and click and click and click and click, and actually click to my heart's content, when I go and hit pause, hopefully what we see is that we just have our main thread, we have our worker thread. This is a thread clear at a different priority, one of Visual Studio's threads that we don't have to worry about. So all of the client threads have exited cleanly, and if we go to, let's go to the heavy worker, which is obviously doing his job. If we go in here, in the locals, and look at the queue, we'll see that there are 159 items waiting to be processed, but all my client threads have shut down cleanly. So I fixed my debugging problem, in addition to showing you all the new multi-thread debugging features in Visual Studio 2008. That's all. So this slide shows you in summary all the features that I showed you that are new. I don't see any of these new features as groundbreaking on their own, but collectively they do enhance our debugging experience in Visual Studio. The features are primarily in the Threads window, but work in tandem with the Debugger Location toolbar and the Code Editor itself, of course. I view this whole area as one that I have more expectations for future versions of Visual Studio, but I'm very happy that the first steps have been taken with Visual Studio 2008. So go get it and play with these yourself. Thank you.